What is up, Dolphin fans? Sorry for the late arrival. You know how technology works. It works and then it doesn't work. And then it works and then late. It doesn't work. It's always one of us. So Alan, we do apologize late for that. real quick shout out to today's sponsor, SeatGeek. You're going to the game on Sunday, which is, this is a, you know, you want to go watch the Dolphins win. This seems like a more likely than any game to go watch them play. Use a promo code FINS. You get $20 off your first order, as well as Sleeper. Go check them out on Friday. We'll be using them to tell you about the more or less. Maybe this time Tua won't be on there with interceptions. But he didn't throw one against Washington, so maybe. Maybe he won't be on there. And then obviously in the bottom corner, you see that we are all available on Spotify, Apple. Go check us out. If you're in the car and you're like, hey, I want to listen to the four guys laugh at each other, check us out. Give us, you know, 5-star, 4-star, however many stars. And also, if you want to be a member, like King Finn Carlos just became a member. Look at that.
Go, like, Carlos.
Right on cue. You just hit the join button next to the subscribe button. You get some cool perks like this one here. Toodle-neers?
Toodle-neers. Toodle-neers.
Toodle-neers. What is that?
I don't even know. We got names for names. And also you get your name at the end. And you let us know, hey, I've been a member for however long, and we'll answer your question. So we're going to jump into this. Are the Dolphins in the hunt? Technically, yes, they are in the hunt, technically.
No.
But are they really in the hunt? Because I talked about it yesterday on my channel, and I had the Dolphins go 10-7. I was like, screw it. Let's say we win the next six, 10-7. We have like a 30% chance of making the playoffs at 10-7.
What's the 10% chance of winning all six of the final games?
Very low. Very low. Very low.
What's not?
Well, I don't live in the land of delusion.
Exactly. If the Dolphins go 10-7, the Chiefs, the Jaguars, and there's one other team goes 10-7, they're ahead of us. Now, if the Bills and the Dolphins go 10-7, we're above the Bills, which is fantastic. But like, the Dolphins need a lot to go right for them to make the playoffs. First and foremost, they have to go 10-7. So we'll run it around the table, starting with Wilmer Kelly. They're in the hunt, but does it really mean anything?
No, it doesn't. And I don't even like the fact that they put them in the graphics, because maybe if they come out of this winning the next three,
yeah,
we could put them in the hunt. We could put them in the graphic and make them feel all nice, but nah. I don't live in the land of delusion. I think they'd be lucky if they won four of the final six. They'd be appreciative if they won five of the final six, and six of the final six is not a possibility to me.
No. Alan?
Delulu land. I like that. Delulu land. it's too early. And then they disappeared from the lurking portion of the Good Morning Football graphic. So they unlurked, as I put on social media. They unlurked. No, but they'll be back. I think when they win the next two games against New Orleans and the Jets, they'll be 6-7. And
if they win the next two games,
they'll win the next two games against the Saints.
This team plays to the level of their competition.
Yeah, man.
They clearly beat them.
They could lose on Sunday, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not really holding my breath on it. They almost lost to
the Kamara, no Brandon Cooks. It's a bad thing. They're 2-9 last I checked. The Saints, they're really not good.
Oh, and Dolphins are 4-7. Woo!
Dolphins are not a great team, but the Dolphins have shown signs of life the past couple of games, whereas New Orleans, it just continues to be mired in mediocrity with a bad cap situation to boot. So as I was saying, the Dolphins will get to 6-7. The crossroads game, as far as what kind of season it will end up being, is Pittsburgh Monday night, December 15th.
That is true. TD, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, man, as long as Tua is on the center, we got a chance, man. Let's just call it what it is. What's so funny? You judgmental bastard. listen. As long as Tua, y'all think I'm trolling, but as long as we got Uno, man, we got a chance. And let me tell you
something. Oos.
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 I call him Uno, okay? All right? Oos. Oos. A little too cool. You know, he Uno. But
his teammates call him Oos.
I ain't his teammate.
Which also stands for brother.
Oh, it does. It stands for brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. But no. Listen, y'all ain't got to believe it, and I ain't living in the land of delusion. But at a minimum, we're gonna win the next four games. The Miami Dolphins are gonna beat the Saints. They're gonna beat the Jets. We know this already. At least I do. Pittsburgh is the one where everybody's worried about. But listen, let me tell you something. This is a whole different team. Whenever Jonnu get on that field, and you get some O-line help. We still got a roster that's solid. I think the roster is solid against teams like that. I know it's on the road, but Aaron Rodgers dealing with the hand situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ain't feeling that. And then the Bengals, they might as well give up now. I mean,
they get Burrow back.
Yeah, but they just lost the game that kind of like put the nail in the coffin, didn't they?
Like, yeah, the only ones who are officially eliminated are the Giants. They're the first
Titans.
So which doesn't make sense. How are the Giants officially eliminated, but the Titans aren't?
Oh, I see it, John.
More teams with top records in the NFC.
And they could the Titans could win their weak division still.
Their weak division, really? Not this year, it ain't.
Next week they'll be done.
Yeah. Dolphins might be done too.
But yeah, the Dolphins, you're gonna look up. We're gonna be 8-7. So you'll be like, can we win the last two? I ain't gonna speak on that. But what I am saying is we about to win the next four games. We're going to have that hope because the one thing the Miami Dolphins have been good at, we can talk about how bad we've been for 25 years, but the one thing this organization has always given us fans, and you better be appreciative of it, is false hope.
Hey, you know, Tua is 11-8 in December, so, you know, doesn't mean
that might be his worst month.
Oh, Lord. What is his best month? Isn't it October? I think October is his best month.
I don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to check while you guys keep talking.
Either November or October is his best month. I think it's November.
I think it's October.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, we put ourselves in this situation yet again, just like last year, by starting 2-6. It's that same cycle. Start 2-6. Hey, we get on a nice little hot run. Up, you lose the one game. You don't make the playoffs. Well, if only. That's what Dolphins.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah. No.
Let's say the Dolphins pulled off victories against the Patriots, which they had the lead, against Carolina, which they had the lead, against the Chargers, which they had a lead, and are now sitting at 7-4. Would we view this team differently? Because we did see those leads. We saw them not be able to finish.
Yeah, but that's a sign. That's a difference between a good team and a bad team. And look at Kansas City last year. Was not their best team at all. They're 12-0 in games decided by a score, by a touchdown or less, because they always found their way. Chicago this year, like 8-3. And say what you want. They don't look that great for most of the games, but they always find a way. Same thing with Denver. Look at him differently.
Yeah, of course you would. In that case, you would be one game out of winning the division.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots would have one more loss. We'd have only four losses. They would have three at that point. We'd be one game out, knowing that final game could decide it on a sweep. And that's the problem with Miami. You named three teams, Omar, but the real shame of it all was when you lost to the Browns. That was the real shame of it all. That's where you kind of realize, man, we got some problems. But yeah, we would definitely look at it totally different.
That's the game.
I have the answer. Mm-hmm. Tua's best month is November in terms of his record as the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, 16-4, and his passer rating is also best in November at 109.0. His worst month.
October.
Then October, 7-10 with a record. Well, January is also 1-3. The passer rating is lowest as December, if you don't count January, where he's only played four regular seasons.
He starts hot in September, cools down in October, red hot November,
slows down
December. It's like the November grows over to December, and then he goes down to January.
What's his record in December?
11-8. So it starts nice. It's like the November brings it over, and then
his peak is really August. That's being honest. Come on.
It's
Omar, I'm with you. Omar, I share your sentiment right there. That eye roll you did, I'm with you there.
It's right? OTA, TD, no, TD, it's OTAs when the pads aren't on and he's not getting hit. He doesn't have an O line or a pass rush because he can actually stand there and throw the ball. But yeah, you know, we are where we are. We are who we are, ifs and buts. But yeah, that Cleveland Browns game, I thought that's when both of them were going to get fired. They waited a week, not even a week, waited 3 days to fire Greer after the Ravens game. But I thought that Browns game, I thought McDaniel and Greer were going to be gone after that game.
And for me, I would look back at games like Carolina and the Chargers where they're like this close to getting the win and they just can't finish. Mm-hmm. Those were the ones that were really damaging to me. Even just those two, not three or four, just those two, and they're 6-5 instead of being 4-7.
Yeah, it's like you just needed to make that tackle. And then against the Panthers, you know, we had the ball. We went 3-and-out, you know.
Most of those games, we just needed to limit our turnovers.
100%. It's the little mistakes. You know, we're not good enough to overtake the little mistakes. And that's why we are 4-7. And, you know, you look at the Ravens who started horribly, and they are now leading their division because they have the capability to overcome those mistakes.
They also didn't have their quarterback during that stretch where they were awful. And a lot of their key defensive players.
Mm-hmm. And he's still hurt, and that team still looks like completely meh, but they're playing in a crap division. That's a crap division this year. The Ravens are playing in a crap division right now.
Well, we're getting one guy back, Austin Jackson. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion he'll be playing against the Saints.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except, I asked a question that a lot of fans have been asking. Okay, so what happens when Austin Jackson comes back? Do the Dolphins think about moving Larry Borum to right guard?
Mm-hmm.
Which I asked Mike McDaniel this week, and he was basically kind of threw it out there that when Austin Jackson comes back, they might do a rotation at right tackle. That no, he has no intention right now of moving Borum to right guard because he's happy with Cole Strange, but that we may be looking at some sort of rotation at right tackle.
Also, I think a factor that you need to consider or bring up is the fact that every time Austin Jackson comes back from an injury, he suffers a setback.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Which might be a good reason why you keep Borum at right tackle, keep him on the ready because he might be needed sooner rather than later again. Yeah.
This offensive line is speaking of offensive line, McDaniel comes out. James Daniels might not even play this year. Is it that bad?
I think it's a little bit different for him and Darren Waller have the same injury, but understand Darren Waller isn't punching.
Yeah.
All game.
300-pound man. Yeah.
He isn't pushing all game. So it's probably a little bit easier to come back with a pectoral injury when your job is not to use your pec to push off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, offensive line play is like you're bench pressing. Well, that requires a lot of chest muscles. And I don't think his rehab has gone probably as ideal as they would like. That's why these coaches don't put a timetable on a player's injury because they never know what's going to happen. Look at Liam Eikenberg. Liam Eikenberg, I saw him beginning of the year walking. He was walking. I thought he was going to be coming back. 2 weeks ago, I see him scooting with his leg on a, you know, leg in a cast and, you know, can't even walk. The setbacks happen. This is, you know, our bodies. Just imagine how our bodies feel after we do something athletic and, you know, and then something else starts to hurt.
Now he's got it. Good.
Ken, I want to make a couple of interesting points about James Daniels and you do with these. Connect the dots. When he was injured and he was put on IR, McDaniel said it was a tough decision because he was looking at a timetable return of 4 weeks-ish. Remember, he used that. Then he was asked, Monday, was there a setback in James Daniels' recovery? His answer was, I don't want to arbitrarily say he is or he isn't, but I don't really know if he will return or not. So that's kind of where I'm at. So he's kind of like dancing around the question.
He's tap dancing. Yeah.
Tap dancing around it, which brings up other possibilities. James Daniels sustained a pectoral injury in 2020 with the Bears. He was done for the year after five games. There might be an issue of fear of aggravation involved here as well.
Could McDaniel just be like holding out hope for, hey, if we're still competitive with 3 weeks left and you're ready to go, let's go. But if we lose another one or so, we just shut it down. Could that just be the caution?
I don't think it is. I think if he were training on the field, I would feel a little bit more optimistic. That's when you kind of get the sign that guys are on their way back. Mm. I haven't seen him training on the field yet, so it's something's going up. It's not responding. I mean, these things happen.
Now he's under contract next year, so he's going to be with the team next year, right?
It's not a. $4.8 million is what they would have to eat because he's got no guaranteed salary. Would just be the prorated portion of the signing bonus.
You never know. It depends on who's running this team. Nobody has a clue who's running and who's coaching this team.
Yeah, that's very true. Then we got Darren Waller coming back, which is a bright sign. Is he hopefully coming back this week?
No, probably not yet. With Mike McDaniel, the history is he has them practice for a week before he puts them out on the field the next week. Now, could Darren Waller be an exception to that rule? Who knows? But I think they're pretty good from a tight end standpoint right now in terms of what they're doing, especially with Julian Hill coming back. You've got Daniel Brunskill, who's absolutely killing it right now in what they call the heavy package. It's not a jumbo package. They call it the heavy package. And then you got Greg Dulich, who's shown you a lot of upside and then a couple of blockers that are helping you on special teams. Now, of course, Tua would definitely love a Darren Waller in the offense because he's actually a weapon. But we saw what happened when we pushed Waller too much earlier in the season. I don't know if we want to do that again.
That's true. Very true. Big old question marks, except for Austin Jackson. But then again, like we were saying, there could be a rotation with Borum. Why are they so dead set on, you know, I guess like not making what could be an upgrade? Like, why do they want to like keep Cole Strange at right guard and not try to make some type of rotation with Borum and have like the best five out there?
I think they said that would be an option when they got to that point. Somebody said the best five. I can't remember if it was Frank Smith or Mike McDaniel. That's just always just coach speak. But I do believe Cole Strange hasn't been bad. Mm. He hasn't been an issue. He's not a liability. And remember, he just got here. So maybe he's just getting his footing under him. I don't know. They seemingly like it. And Mike basically said, I don't have an issue with how he's played. And truthfully speaking, the way the offensive line is playing right now, I'm not sure I'd change anything.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like, haven't we played better as of late versus the beginning of the season?
I think the heavy package has a lot to do with that. But even Larry Borum. Like, y'all know how I felt about Larry Borum early in the season. Borum hasn't been an issue for like a month. Like, he's done his job. He's played well.
McDaniel said, you know, we've gotten really, really good play at the right guard position for the past couple of months. I know that may sound strange to you guys.
He was talking to you. No, hey, he was talking to you.
Here's the other thing, Doug, also, is if you make the move to Borum to right guard, now you're changing two spots. You're changing right tackle and you're changing right guard at a time when, and I wrote about this on MiamiDolphinsOnTheSide.com, where all the content is free, that check this out. This is
rubbing it in.
Great stat for you guys. The Dolphins have started the same five on the offensive line, 8 straight games. That's the longest streak since.
The Unicorns.
No, hey, even beyond that, before
bring
that.
Bring those other guys off the bench, man.
What that?
Hold on. Before that. 2012.
Man. Wow.
2012.
And those five were Jake Long, Richie Incognito, Mike Pouncey, John Jerry, and Jonathan Martin.
Man.
How about that?
Jonathan Martin. Oh, God.
I say bring them off the bench. Why not? Like, shake things up and let those guys continue to build together.
Wow.
I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of things you say are crazy, TD, but that's not crazy at all.
Wow. See, I used to admire you, Alan.
last thing we'll talk about before we get to the donations and the chat, this defense. Now, the defense has played better, right? You know, gave up 13 points the past two games. Offense was much better against Buffalo, but you know, the defense is getting better, not necessarily getting blown out or giving up as many points recently. Can they keep it up? Can they tighten it up? You know, we're seeing the run defense get a little bit better. We're seeing these young defensive tackles play a little bit more, playing more consistently. Can the defense continue to tighten it up and then allow the offense to hopefully match it? We'll start with TD on that one.
Can they tighten it up? I feel like they've been good enough as of late. You know, I think this defense is more so a bend but don't break, but also we're finding some pieces like Biggers and stuff like that that's now getting some shake, an opportunity. I did a shout out to Jack Jones today, because when you really look at that signing, I think that's panning out. Now, his coverage hasn't been A1, but they use him a lot in the box. He gets at the quarterback. He has tackles in that run game. He's physical, and he makes plays. I mean, think about the heads he plays. I mean, I think it was like one or two games where he punched out fumbles really were the plays of the game. Mm-hmm. When you really look at it. So our defense is just fine the way they're playing right now. But what we're going to need as time goes on, teams, you can't bank on them to just continue to be this solid. There's moments they're just going to break apart. Teams going to put up some. It's really on the offense where they need to pick it up on a consistent basis, because they've started to show a few flashes with some things, especially with A-Chain. So they're going to need to pick it up for moments when the defense aren't playing as well as they are now, because I don't trust the defense to continue playing at this level for the rest of the season. They may give me three of these last six games where I'm okay, but bank on three games saying, man, the defense was getting carved up. Well, can the offense make up for that?
Mm. And they, you know, as much as we look at, you know, Joe Burrow coming off an injury, you have Aaron Rodgers injury, you have Baker Mayfield, will he be healthy? And then you got Drake May, will he even play? Those four offenses have, you know, good quarterbacks and good wide receivers, and you know that's something we're going to have to deal with. Alan, what's your thoughts on the defense?
Playing better. They did rely a lot on takeaways the last two games, which is something that really wasn't there in the first half of the season.
Yeah,
they got 3 takeaways against Buffalo, 2 against Washington. They gave up 375 yards each time. Wasn't necessarily great from that standpoint, but I do like in a lot of areas. I think they're getting better. It's still not a great defense, and the question becomes: I think they'll handle New Orleans and have a good showing on defense. The Jets don't scare me at all with their offense. But for the last four games of the regular season, this is where it's going to be the real test, and we'll see exactly just how far along this defense has come.
One more.
I like the way that they've been stopping the run as of late. I think the defensive tackles are no longer a liability. They're getting the job done. They're becoming more technically sound. The linebackers are playing well together. They're flowing. The one concern I do have is the edge setting from the edges and also the pass rushing. You know, Matt Judon is a solid player, but in an ideal world, you would have Chop Robinson out there for 35 snaps a game, and you'd feel his presence. I don't think this team has felt his presence all season, and you need to have somebody opposite Bradley Chubb, who, by the way, didn't practice on Monday and is nursing an injury. The last thing you could afford to do is start to lose some of those edge rushers to injury or have it impact their play, because then it's going to impact you on third downs. Mm-hmm. And they finally got to the point where they could put pressure on third downs, and then we'll see what happens.
Gonna be interesting. We have 573 in here. Be sure to hit that like button, get the likes up there, and hit subscribe button. Again, we are on the road to 10K. We are very, very close. This one's from Ian with the Fiverr. He says, Omar, I heard you say on Joe Rose you'd back McDaniel at 9-8. Why? That puts us no closer to a playoff win. We have to have higher standards.
We absolutely do have to have higher standards. However, I do believe Mike has a good command of this team. I do believe Mike is an innovative genius, and I struggle to say the word genius, but yeah, I don't feel good saying it, but you know,
he's saying it anyway.
He's extremely creative, innovative. I need a word lesser than genius. Innovative pioneer.
Innovative is good.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think there are a lot of lessons that he's learned in the last 4 years. I think this team is not incredibly far away from being where they want to be. I just feel like talent evaluation has been an issue that has kind of held them back. For instance, look at their wide receiving core. How many years have they spent putting this together, looking at this, working on this? Hell, I feel like Eric Uzukama could help them right now more than anybody else they have on this team. And I don't even like Eric Uzukama. It's you know, just like, and you know how I feel about Mike. Well, Mike, everybody's his buddy. Everybody is safe. Nobody's ever getting cut. And I think that that's an unhealthy practice.
Mm.
But here we are 4 years into the development of some of these receivers, and Jalen Waddle and who?
Mm-hmm.
Free agents added. What have they done? I mean, we had to go back and get Cedric Wilson, who was also a bad talent evaluation. But, like, what is going on here? So, I'm not blaming anybody for Mike's record other than Mike. Mm. But if we're going to ride Tua out for another year, I wouldn't object to riding him out in the same offense with his same head coach for one more year and see where it goes from there. But, you know, everybody knows how I am. You do not produce a winning record. Scorch earth this thing. Nuke it. Mm-hmm.
Here, no, Omar, real quick on that. Here's my issue with the McDaniel piece, though, because I'm not opposed to keeping McDaniel either, but we talk about talent evaluation. What about the importance of the entire coaching staff, which McDaniels is responsible for? What about talent development? Yeah. And that's where I feel like, even though, hey, you may miss on picks, but who are you developing, though?
Where are we not getting talent development, though?
But where are, like you just mentioned, wide receiving core, Waddle and Arthur, all of these receivers you done?
We just changed receiving coaches.
Yeah, but this is like where is the player that you could say they were bad and now look at them because of this coaching staff?
I look at it more from the standpoint, okay, tell me the unit, offensive line, Butch Barry develops his players. Look at Patrick Paul, perfect example of that. Tight ends, come on. Like, he's probably one of the best tight end coaches in the country. Running back, Devon Achane. Now you've seen blossoming from Ollie Gordon. Not to say that they're a finished product, but I'm pretty solid. I think I'm pretty solid there. Let's go to wide receiver. We brought it up. That's clearly an issue. Defensive line. Love what I'm seeing now. Now you're seeing growth and progression, and I really do think he's a good defensive line coach. Edge, you know, but keep in mind, we lost our edge player to a domestic incident, edge coach to a domestic incident. Inside linebackers, they're blossoming. Do we have any depth behind them? No, we don't. But, you know, in time, secondary. I mean, they were handed crap.
Mm.
It's still not good, but they were handed crap. Like,
so every coach is great. Is that basically what you're saying, Omar?
No, I'm not saying every coach is great.
It's a fine coaching staff. I don't think it stands out one way or the other as being like an elite level coaching staff. I don't think it's a below average coaching staff. I don't know that it makes much of a difference in the wins and losses, but
It does from players' development standpoint. I mean, Jack Jones, he doesn't get grabby. You might win that Carolina game. You know,
okay. So what are we saying? Jack Jones came to you with a reputation as a guy who's going to make big plays, make big mistakes. What has he been? It's exactly what he's been.
Yes, but maybe he's making less mistakes right now. I mean, outside of that Carolina game, I can't really tell you any major, like, oh, God, Jack Jones, you suck.
Oh, well, Jack Jones has been good for the Dolphins, though.
Huh?
He's been good for the Dolphins, though.
He's been hot and cold, and I think he's riding the wave now.
Technically, you could attribute a game or two to him.
I agree with you. I wrote about that. You can contribute two games to him.
Yeah.
Two victories to him. But the thing about Jack Jones, and I hate talking about it, is it's not always on the field that flares up with him. Like, do y'all realize he's been kicked off every single team he's been on since high school?
Yeah, like, you got to manage that though.
I don't disagree with you.
I think they should extend him right now. Yeah. For low price, extend.
They do, but they're not going to because they have a cut over their organizational chart for 2026.
Yeah, I just think you can get it for a very good price right now, and I think that he's somebody who you can carry forward to hold a spot until and he keep developing. And if it doesn't work out, you get better on the back end, or if it does work out, you just saved a lot of money and draft capital.
I'm not opposed to it. I would have to hear the money, but honestly, I'm not letting nobody do nothing right now.
Yeah, get that GM in there.
Nah,
Omar, the real money or the contract that the agents give out?
I just want the guaranteed numbers. Give me the guaranteed numbers.
Okay.
Garb Gump with the tour said, "Who would have thunk we have two good corners and a decent O-line?"
Who?
Russell Douglas and Jack Jones. They're probably middle of the pack. Whereas
they're decent.
They're probably middle of the pack in the NFL. Whereas at the start of training camp, where the Dolphins were, you're thinking they're going to be easily bottom third, if not lower.
They still, I believe, are giving up the highest pass rating in the NFL.
Yeah, but there's also safety play involved, and also pass rush is also a factor. I don't think the cornerbacks have been bad at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree.
Devin with the fiber says the Dolphins can go 10-6 and still not make the playoffs. Yep, 100%. There's a lot of teams ahead of them that I think tiebreakers. Somebody asked why they have the tiebreaker over Buffalo if they both go 10-7. I think it has to do with conference record, or it has to do with
It depends on what the Buffalo losses would be.
Yeah.
I'm not even looking up or caring about any of that. When you get to 9 wins, we can figure it all out.
I'm not even
wasting my time.
3 months. Said big fan from Montreal. Keep it going, gentlemen. We appreciate you.
I don't even get a special shout out.
Nah, he don't even know you, Canadian. He don't
even know you.
He don't even know you.
Wow.
Vince Arcane with the fiber says, I worry we will win enough to not clean house. How many more wins do we need to save the head coach? Wouldn't that impact new general manager candidates? Probably get to 9. You probably get to 9 wins, and they'll probably keep Mike McDaniel. It all depends on the interview process with the GM. If you let the GM know, like, hey, listen, you know, he's gone after next year.
You have a desirable enough candidate who wants the job, you will do whatever he says. Now, if you don't have a desirable enough candidate, you kind of tell him what the terms are. You want it, you take it. Like, I'm not moving or, like, I'm not moved by anybody that's out there. And in fact, like if Mike Tomlin's out there, yeah, I'll like move mountains to make it happen. I think somebody wrote that there's going to be some surprise firings.
Josina Anderson.
Josina. Yeah. And I respect Josina. And if surprise firings could be
Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah, maybe Harbaugh. Maybe Harbaugh. And Harbaugh is free.
McDermott.
Or McDermott. Oh my God. No, I'm not even gonna say nothing. Like I know he's won like Coach of the Year twice, but
Okay. Josina also had a tweet about 2-3 teams maybe interested in Belichick, and I'm thinking like, please don't.
I mean, you can see the Giants. You can see the Giants. There's history.
So dumb.
We're good. By the way, no, count me out among those who think it's got to be 9 wins or else. I think I could see a scenario where the Dolphins finish 8-9 and they run it back.
6 wins, they run it back?
6 wins.
We're not running it back at 8-9.
See, but here's the thing, and I noticed this, I noticed this in the last episode we did, and I think people need to realize this about Allen. This isn't Allen telling you what he wants to happen.
Yes.
This is what Allen is telling you what he thinks will happen.
And I understand where he's coming from, because Steve Ross hates this process, hates hiring people, hates it. But like you can't sell this. You cannot sell this to the fans. You cannot sell 8-9 and Mike McDaniel back to the fans.
He's selling it's gonna be different because we have a new GM now. And Champ Kelly's gonna lead us where Chris Greer could not.
Oh boy.
It's gonna be an adventure. Mm-mm. Ohio John with the fiver says, when it comes to improving Doug, Jesus. Jonah's play, what is Butch Berry putting the most emphasis on? And has there been significant improvement there lately?
Balance.
Do you think
keeping his feet?
Let me ask you guys this question. Do you think it's because, and you could tell me, I'm not going to say it yet because Alan's going to say it. Do you think it's the fact that he is going from his right side to his left side that the kickout foot is different, so his balance is off?
No.
So he's a little too top heavy.
Yeah, sometimes he makes a sudden movement that gets him out.
Not technically sound as a player.
Right.
And Butch Berry has basically said, in his own words, if he makes 8 mistakes now, hopefully the next game he makes 7 mistakes. If he makes 7 mistakes in that game, hopefully the next game he makes 6 mistakes. If he makes 6 mistakes, hopefully he gets 5 mistakes. They want progress. And he's showing progress.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a disaster anymore. Mm-hmm. He was a disaster.
Jeez,
he's not a disaster. He's not good, baby, but he's not a disaster.
Baby steps.
Yeah. And you are too far in this investment to turn back now.
I don't get that. People want, and it's funny because they did it with Kenneth. They're still doing it with Kenneth Grant, and they're doing it with Jonah. But people forget how a big portion of his fan base, Christian Wilkins, like eight games into his first year, were like, "Oh, this guy's a bust. Yeah, you know, he's not doing anything." And then they were like, "How we couldn't re-sign Christian? We need Christian." It's like, give him time.
I don't know if people were in his rookie year, because I used to tell people, like, you know, he's not really playing that well, and they'd be like, "No, he's great. He's a first round pick."
There was a portion that wanted Dwayne Haskins. They really wanted the quarterback, and they took Christian. I was happy with Christian, especially him doing the splits and everything. Ian with the fiver said, really want Chris Shula for new head coach. I'll tell you why that's not happening. He has the Rams defense humming and reminds me of Mike McDonald in Seattle. Also, McVay coaching tree can't hurt. If you think every time a quarterback gets drafted by the Miami Dolphins, they have this shadow of Dan Marino over them, what do you think Chris Shula is going through with his grandfather? Just the statue is outside of his work every time he comes in. It is immense pressure on top of already being a head coach. That's my thoughts. What are your guys' thoughts on bringing in Chris Shula as a head coach?
I'm with you, Doug. It would take a special kind of self-confident, I mean, above and beyond crazy levels to take on, you know, the specter and, you know, the shadow of your grandfather, the legend at every turn.
It's a one-day thing, and this fan base would boo him if he sucked, and we don't care. It's a story, but whatever.
Fire Don Shula's grandson.
Yeah, we fired Don Shula, so not no, but
they parted ways, Omar.
Yeah, so I don't want a rookie head coach anymore.
I agree.
We've done it, been there, done that, learned from it. Time to not do that again. Just my personal opinion. Time to do something different.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm tired of the names, like, because that's what this is. That's why he's being mentioned as much, in my opinion. He's a good coach. But
the Dolphins hired a name.
No, I'm saying I don't want to be a part. I'm talking about in the league in general. Like, people worrying about the names and where this person come from and his family's history. Here's what I want a head coach. First of all, it's going to take some work on the Dolphins' part 3 weeks from now. Please, Miami, whatever it takes, beat Pittsburgh so we can get Tomlin, so we can hurt their season and make sure they don't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't make the playoffs, this might finally be the time, because they loaded up. They gave them everything. All right, let's go. Here's our last chance. That's the temperature in Pittsburgh.
The fan base is tired of him.
If they don't make the playoffs,
yeah,
that's probably it in Pittsburgh, and that's perfect for us. And so make sure you beat them and hurt them a little more, and that should be our top candidate. Stop playing these games, because guess what? I know about Mike Tomlin. He's a disciplinarian like Brian Flores, but he ain't going to do what Brian Flores did.
No. You
know? So it's just about business, accountability, but it's not really going at players or anything like that. He knows how to coach a team. He knows how to get the best out of his roster. And I think you put that together in Miami and you let him build his team. We can get to a Super Bowl with Mike Tomlin.
It's funny, because you said something. Earlier today, I tweeted out a Mike Tomlin conversation about listening. And he's talking about how listening is a skill and you have to work on it. You have to harness it. You have to, you know, put effort and energy into it to listen. And he's right. But more importantly, I think if I was going to narrow down why Brian Flores failed outside of his poor people skills, it was the fact that he did not listen to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he learned from Mike Tomlin. But I heard Tomlin say that, and I love the way he communicates. Yeah. Obviously, we know the minute he's removed from Pittsburgh, and it's coming, but the minute he's removed from Pittsburgh, teams will be lined up to throw him money and power and influence and whatever. Miami will just be one of them. And Steve will bid big, and he'll, you know, but does that mean that we'll get him? I don't think so.
You got to do all you can, though.
That's yeah. And it'll be exactly what Steve Ross fears, which is him being the bridesmaid and never the bride.
Oh, and he might have to go above and beyond. Flamingo Boot with the Fiver says, is Chop another edge bust that we wasted a number one on?
Like Charles Harris and Deion Jordan and who else?
No, I don't think they're that. I don't. This is what a
no. We're not there. It's his second year, but it's let's just say I would have liked to have seen more by now, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, let me say this. I read from one of y'all earlier. You must have interviewed a coach. I forgot where I got it from, but y'all let me know. So he would have started the game if they started out with a small package.
Yeah, that was Anthony Weaver. Said he would have started. He's a package-based player.
Yeah. See, this is my problem with Miami. Why are you drafting package players in the first round?
Because
he's a pass rusher and he's not great against the run yet.
Package.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
You knew he was run deficient.
I know, but that was my.
I'm agreeing with you. They knew he was run deficient. Like, but you know,
all right.
He didn't have productivity in college.
Garp Bump with the tenor says Francis. Help me with that last name.
Mawanoa.
Offensive tackle Miami, 6 foot six, 315, has reportedly been clocked at 20 miles per hour. Reese Edge, linebacker, Ohio State, 6 foot four, 244, mid 4.4s. And Proctor, offensive tackle out of Bama, 6 foot seven, 366, 500 pound bench, 800 pound squat.
I'm not drafting the 366 offensive line.
You got to move.
Maui Noah, I like. He's a right tackle. And then the other Ohio State kid, I remember seeing him in when I was watching film of Ohio State players last year. And I was like, ooh, I like that. But you could talk about prospects all you want. If they don't have anybody who can identify talent, we're wasting our time. Because I think all four of us could have drafted better than the Miami Dolphins.
Damn straight. I don't want to write back on the first round. So there,
I said it. I am Ted Sko with the he's been a member for 6 months. He says no more scratch and dented players shopping.
Oh, come on. You can only afford scratch and dent players. What are you talking
about? One more year throwing the can on the ground and then putting it in the cart. One
more year. When you cannot draft players and evaluate talent properly, you have to rely on scratch and dent free agents.
Sanchez just hit that membership button. We appreciate you, my man. Durin with the been a member for 6 months. Y'all ain't ready for that Super Bowl for the Super Bowl run.
Well, get ready real quickly.
Noel B gifted out subs to D Polores, Arquil, Mr. Bod 954, Golden.
Bod, that's what a name.
And try hard.
Talk about pressure. That's a lot of pressure. Right there.
Kenneth, Canadian. You're gonna have to say that one.
Alain était superbe.
He says, "I'm curious what you, Alan, would do over the next 3 years if Ross gave you the keys to the kingdom."
Yeah, let's hear this plan.
You better bring me in, Alan.
Barring a major run, I would make a change at the top of the organization. I think I suck it up with Tua as a quarterback next year to play out his contract because I'm not sure. Omar, you'll love this. I'm not sure you're going to find anything better for 2026. But too, also, I am not stopping looking.
Yes.
Then I have to think of who possibly out there. Mike Tomlin, obviously, if he becomes available, absolutely. I would look for a kick-ass GM or more so a football czar, a la Ozzie Newsome, if that can be found somewhere. This is where you dig. No, I mean, they don't grow on trees, Omar. I know, trust me. Yeah. That guy's an all-timer. That's where I'd start. Hope that's okay.
Would you draft a quarterback, though, in 2025?
In 2026, would I draft a quarterback? I wouldn't force a quarterback if there's not one there that's got a high ceiling because that's what you need to be shooting for.
So you would not
just draft a quarterback for the sake of drafting a quarterback.
You take, Nussmeier in, the third if he's there.
Fourth-round quarterback.
Who?
A fourth-round quarterback.
I think there's something there, though. I would be intrigued by him in the third round. I think there's
it's just a name to throw.
Yeah, no. My viewings of him have been
Something build off of. Something build off of.
He's got the tools. He needs proper coaching.
Yeah, yeah. He can't go back, right? Nussmeier.
They're getting paid $5 million in college to be quarterbacks now.
What is the rule on that going back? If you're a senior, you can't go back, or
I think does he not have any eligibility?
5 years or something?
I think you get anyway. Let me not talk. You can play now all five, and you might get sick. I don't know what the rules are. Let me see.
Or you can be that UM tight end last year, play 9 years?
I was gonna say,
those were a lot of medicals.
I know, but still, it was 38 years old playing.
He's just got braces on his elbows and his knees.
A little check, man.
It's Gronkowski out there playing tight end.
The guy's going from nil to Social Security. That's pretty impressive.
He just retired. I play college. I'm going to retire. Go to the College Hall of Fame. Nobody with the fiber says, how does this team avoid a status quo 2026 season? You tear it down. You tear it down. If you don't, and you say, we're going to ride with Kelly and we're going to ride with McDaniel, you're going to start 2-6.
See, hold on. Let me get this straight. Do y'all see a world where this team is a contender next year?
It's not likely, but it's not out of the realm of possible. Should we raffle down the list of teams that have sucked one year and actually did something the next?
Yeah, but they were still at least built to do something. Like, they were headed in that direction.
The Colts, who were one win next year, made the playoffs. The Dolphins did it. Look at Washington last year. Like, there's teams who have sucked and found some rhythm and won. I don't expect it, is what I'm saying, but you can't really say it's out of the realm of possibility. I also could win the lottery tomorrow, but I'm not expecting it.
Don't forget your friends, Doug. Yeah.
Hey, if I win it, man, I'll send you guys mil.
Gentlemen, Garrett Nussmeier is not eligible to play college football in 2026. He has played 5 years of college football already.
So how old is he? 24?
I don't know. You're not asking me questions. I don't
know. He's probably like 23, 24. Ian with the fiver. This is for Omar. Or actually for all of us.
He's 23.
Gotcha. What is the obsession with Mike Tomlin? He used to be an elite coach, but hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years. I just don't see the hype. And I hear this. And I hear this a lot, especially when I bring up like names like Spagnuolo, or I bring up other names of former head coaches that I give a shout out. There's coaches that have sucked somewhere and have gone somewhere else and won. Steve Carroll sucked with the Patriots, won a Super Bowl with Seattle. Andy Reid, he didn't suck with Philly, but he never won it with Philly. And now look what he's doing in Kansas City. Bill Belichick, he didn't get a chance in Cleveland, wins with New England. Like, it happens.
He got a chance. He didn't win.
Ooh. Yeah, they kind of moved the team on. Bill Belichick.
Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl, and while he has not won a playoff game since 2016 against the Dolphins, I would probably suggest look at the rosters on those teams in recent years, particularly on offense, and you're like, a lot of times I'm like, how the hell are they in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the personnel, yeah.
You're looking at it as they hadn't won a playoff game. They shouldn't have been in the playoffs a lot of those years where they were in the playoffs.
The man has never had a losing season in 18 years.
For me, it's the quarterback position. He had Ben Roethlisberger the last time he went to the playoffs, and then Ben started to look like a shell of himself for the last 2-3. And that's a lifer stealer, so you're not gonna move on until he's ready to retire. So you're living out those.
And you've had some issues finding his replacement.
Yeah, it's been bad quarterbacks ever since, but he still has a winning record in those years. Now he finds his quarterback, builds his defense up. It's about him getting his quarterback again. That's why they went after Aaron Rodgers, seeing if they can get a spark out of him to lead this team. And right now, as you see, Aaron Rodgers get hurt, it makes it even rougher for him.
Would any of you trade your first-round pick for Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, it's the foundation. You need your coach.
I would. 2026, just 2026? Yeah, I'd trade a first for him.
They went to the playoffs with Kenny Pickett in 2023. I mean, come on.
Come on. But I also would trade a player. Like I've said before, I trade Waddle for Mike Tomlin. Waddle and Achan. Sorry, Achan, if you're watching this.
You would trade Jalen Waddle and Devon Achan for Mike Tomlin?
Mm-hmm.
Waddle and A-Chain don't matter until we get the right coach and general manager.
Hey, you guys, Alan, who are you pushing back on? Don't make me call you judgy bastard. You're the one who said the reason the Patriots have turned around is because they got the coach and they got the quarterback.
Correct. You're getting the coach and you're getting rid of your two best offensive playmakers.
And then the next year, quarterback.
Where's the A-Chain in New England?
Correct.
There you go.
Okay, well, bring in Drake May too, and then we'll talk.
Bishop Don Manio with the tour says, ranking the last 25 years, how bad is this team?
It's not top five. That's for 2007, no. 2004, 2011.
Seventh.
Yeah, 2011 would beat this team's ass.
They started 0-7.
And 0-7 because they were installing an offense that nobody knew at the beginning of training camp because of a lockout.
Okay, they were 6-3 down the stretch. They were decent on the stretch.
That team, that if you look at the personnel on that team would mop this team up and down the field.
Yeah, okay.
Who's the quarterback again?
Matt Moore.
2011. Yeah. Matt Moore finished. Chad Henne started as a starter.
Yeah, Chad Henne sucks. We all know that. Matt Moore. Chad. If you can coach him, Matt Moore, the gunslinger, you got a chance.
Love Matt Moore.
You will either win the game or you'll get blown out. No in between.
Alterion, with the 6 months he's been with us, said Flores Grier kept our draft capital healthy. You agree? What do you mean by that? Like they kept adding to it?
Well, that's when they blew everything up.
Yeah.
I think what he's saying when you say kept it healthy, we weren't trading away capital for players like, you know, Tyreek Ramsey and all of that stuff.
Correct. No, they were trading away players for draft picks. But the problem is when you really look at that what they did, where they had all these first round and second round draft picks, they couldn't afford to retain all those players. It wasn't
They also didn't nail any complete studs. They nailed a couple of good players. Omar, you give me the look.
I'm giving you the look. I'm going to studs.
One Pro Bowl selection out of those 9 picks in the first and second rounds in 2020 and 2021. And that was Tua, the 1 year. That's it.
Yeah, we would have been able to afford them if we hit on them.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Not hitting on Noah. You dealt with the Ramsey and all of that stuff. You know, it's the problem is we weren't hitting on them, so we had to spend money to try to replace. Look at the left tackle position. Wait, who was there again? I'm before Armstead.
And after Tunsil, you're talking about?
I think it was supposed to be Liam Eichenberg.
If you look at those draft classes, it was trash.
Yeah, that's what the problem
is. In hindsight, it was a lot of wasted picks, a lot of trash.
That's why the rebuild didn't work.
Andrew Van Ginkle might be the most talented player on that. And that's 2 Pro Bowlers.
And they let him walk.
Well, he made a Pro Bowl with Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, but we're just talking about the talent.
Omar, I'm talking about the drafts of 2020 and 2021 after they blew it everything.
Yeah. But we still got to factor in 2019, which is the first year that they started working together. Sure. Christian Wilkins, Andrew Van Ginkle, Tua, Brandon Jones.
Waddle's a good player.
Waddle, Jalen Phillips, Javon Holland.
Correct. Good, but not great. Good, not great.
7 players out of. Robert Hunt, 8 players.
There you go.
12, 13. Hey, we were cooking.
This is my favorite TV show. What TV show? Oh, this Us? Oscar Gump?
He loves our TV show.
Love that.
Bishop said with the tour, Mike Tomlin, head coach, Mike McDaniel, OC, Weaver, DC. I've heard this so many times on Twitter of people saying.
8 players and 23 draft picks.
Horrible.
No complete superstar.
Move Mike McDaniel to offensive coordinator. In the history of the NFL, has a head coach ever gone from being the head coach demoted to offensive coordinator?
Not the same year, but in Denver.
Vance Joseph.
That's what I'm saying. So Mike McDaniel's not going to be like, oh, you're going to get Tomlin? I'll just become the offense. Sure. I'm going to stay here, but I'm just going to. No, especially because he's going to be paid like a head coach. No,
I hate when people say that. I never get why people like Mike McDaniel will rush back into a job. Your contract features offset language. Let's say you're getting $5 million a year, and you're not getting $5 million a year because you paid Vic Fangio $6 million. So let's say you're getting $7 million a year from Steve Ross. you work and get a job for $2 million a year. So, Steve Ross doesn't owe you $2 million a year. You're working for free. Mm-hmm. I never get that. Like, chill out for a minute. Like, I understand. Like, look at Adam Gase.
But some Adam Gase who went straight to coach the Jets. Some guys don't want to be away from the game.
That was such a Jet move. Like, how did the Jets watch this coach twice a year and then go?
Yeah, but he became the head coach of the Jets. We're talking about going to like.
No, but that's what I'm saying is how dumb of the Jets to watch him be the Dolphins head coach and then be like, we're going to. And then Colin Coward come out here and be like, Darnold and Gase, I want my Super Bowl tickets. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've heard in my
life. I must defend myself in this chat because people are mocking me for how long it took me to count those draft picks. There were like 20 trades in those four drafts. If I showed you, like, it's hard to figure this out because there's so many trades. They're like
down, trade up, like trade down, down.
Yeah.
Master with the tour says Sorsby or Mavia would be great to draft in the third. Man, I'm not even on prospects yet. Man.
I have no idea who those people are. You're would
probably. Hey, you might be right. I'm not even.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm once like. For me, it's after free agency is when I start really jumping into the draft.
I watch college football in December. I can't watch it now.
Ian with the fiver says Tomlin wanted Rodgers, and now they're going to blow the division when Lamar was out for a month. Burrow gone half a year, and the Browns, no thanks on him. And then he'll go to the Giants and win Super Bowls with them.
His quarterback is hurt, though.
We could have had him.
That's an excuse.
That's true. That's true. But we're getting out of here, Cub Scouts. We will see you Friday at 6:30-ish. It is Black Friday, so there is a game. What time is the game? Like 4?
3:30, I believe. Or 3 p.m.
So dumb. Hope you guys all have a happy Thanksgiving. Hope all three gentlemen on the panel with me have a happy Thanksgiving. Real quick before we get out of here, favorite side, stuffing for me. Omar.
I like mashed potatoes and gravy.
Nice. Alan.
Yes, all of them. sweet potato casserole.
Nice. TD.
Sweet potato yams.
Ooh. We need to get together, just have our own Thanksgiving. We will see you guys Friday. Hope you all have a happy, healthy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for supporting the channel, helping us get very close to 10K, hitting the likes, making this a consistently high view channel, and getting us talked overseas, like Omar Kelly told us. We will see you on Friday. And again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.